All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Refining Politics and Culture. I have the honor today of sitting with a new friend, someone who is fighting the good fight, standing for truth, holding fast to her convictions, even when it costs her something. So this is Tori Jensen. She is a San Diego local and is someone who over the last week has experienced quite a few tumultuous circumstances, but she's had opportunities to stand up for her convictions, like we mentioned. And because of that, we're both believers. We really believe that God's going to bless her as she stood for truth. And so I'm excited to see what the future holds for this woman, thankful for the stance that she's taken. And I pray that it inspires tens of thousands more. Tori, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm great. Glad to be here.
It's an honor to have you. I really mean that. And I've been inspired this week by the stance you've taken. And I'd love, rather than trying to emulate it my own words, I'd rather the story come straight from you. Can you tell us what happened over the last week? And if that requires some backstory, give us the backstory too.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. I've been a nurse for 10 years, locally in Scripps, and then 5 years with Kaiser, and love my job. And this last, you know, when COVID hit, I was on the COVID floor. You know, they designated one floor, the COVID floor, for a bit. So those were really crazy times, but I work with amazing nurses and doctors, and I really consider it like a privilege. It was like, I said to the first patient I ever had, I said, "We're a part of history." And I don't think he was happy to hear about that. But I mean, really, that's how it felt. All the news, they were talking about how small the particles were, our masks gonna work, like we're rewearing all of our PPE, and it's crazy, crazy times. But I really was it was a privilege to be a nurse at that time. So fast forward to August, they said that they were going to, Kaiser said that they were going to require a COVID-19 vaccine, or I could get a religious exemption and test twice a week. And so I, the reason I didn't decide not to get the vaccine was because I have prayed a long time about it. It was not an easy decision for me. Not something I took lightly, looking at kind of everything. And I just prayed about it and I listened to God. I'm in the Word every day. And I really felt like a calm spirit about, and that my God-given immune system is sufficient for this, even knowing I've seen very sick people. But for me personally, God was like, "Listen, this is not for you." And I listen, and that should be enough, really. So that's, I submitted my religious exemption and I was provisionally approved in September. And then, and very happy about that. Like, loved that I was getting tested twice a week, because I felt really confident that I was providing good, safe care to the patients that were there. My vaccinated friends are not required to test, but we know that you can still get COVID even though you're vaccinated. So I felt really good about my decision. I wear an N95 most of the time. So then October, I received another email with asking to explain my religious reasons for not getting the COVID-19 vaccine in more detail. And so I did, I answered the questions. There was, I didn't, it was funny, until I actually got the denial letter, I didn't realize how stressed out I was by all this, because it's in God's hands. But I couldn't believe that I was being asked to defend my religious beliefs and asked to do something I didn't feel comfortable doing. By my employer. So I felt very harassed and discriminated against. This is what the Christians feel all over the world. This is the American form of religious persecution, a lot less lethal, but persecution nonetheless. So, and on that note, I really do feel like persecution spread the gospel in Acts. And I am the message, one of the messages I want to send to all of us who are in this situation, who feel really strongly that they don't want to do something against their will, and that they want to stand firmly to their convictions, that persecution spreads the gospel, and that God has something for us. And It may not make sense to our 401ks. And I don't say that lightly because I know people are affected by this financially, but I really believe there is a plan. So then on October 28th, the morning of October 28th, I showed up to work. We work 7A to 7P. And at 10:45, my boss came and said, "Hey, check your email." And I had a letter of denial at that time. And they actually didn't know what to do with me. They asked me to finish my shift.
Wow.
And I said, "Well, if you want to give me a letter reinstating me, I'm happy to finish my shift. That's what I showed up here to do today." So from 10:45 to like 6:30, in the evening, I just asked to speak with someone from HR to get more clarity on why my religious beliefs were not, they felt that they were not sincere. And so I asked to speak with HR and they kind of gave me the runaround. They said that there's a group of people deciding, but there's no phone number, no email, no location for them. And so I just said, "I'll wait. I'm sure you can find someone to speak with me. I'm losing my job over this. It's a big deal. Like I think you owe me some answers." So at 6:30, I met with the nurse executive again and I said, "I'm not leaving without answers." And she said, "Okay." So we were kind of at a standstill, but that was it.
Wow. So Tori, you had this moment and I'd love for you to describe this as well. You actually videoed yourself kind of in the moment of your walk out of the healthcare center, the hospital. What was that like? Describe that in some detail. And obviously it went viral to a certain degree and it's how I discovered your story. One of the things I'm grateful for with social media is that we do have the ability to tell some of these stories and it's why big tech is working so hard to suppress these stories. But would love to hear, what was that moment like catching that on video? Along with that question, what is some of the feedback you've gotten since your story has been released from people?
Sure. I have been like feeling like if I had the opportunity to stand up for what I believe in, and that is freedom, that is religious freedom, that is medical freedom, that is First Amendment rights. If I had the chance, I would do it. So I made that commitment to myself a long time ago. And that's how I was raised, with really strong convictions. My parents were strong believers and my dad was a colonel in the military. So I like we had talks about communism at dinner. Like, I don't know if that was your dinner time talk, but that's what, you know,
good dad.
And so, yeah, I mean, as a kid, you're like, but when you grow up, you think, yeah, that's right. I'm so lucky to have that foundation. And so it's really important for me to say that to my kids anyway. Okay. So I decided if I have the opportunity, I'm going to stand up for myself. I didn't think it would be in a public platform like this. But then I also wanted it documented. And so that if I could reach a lot of people with my message, I wanted to. And it was a very peaceful exit out. The security guard that was with me was an absolute class act. And I did that so that I would have the opportunity to share my story easily if I wanted to.
And the feedback since?
Yeah, I've gotten mostly really supportive feedback. So I was there 8 hours, right? And I have most of my coworkers are vaccinated and we have all walks of life and all different, you know, political feelings on things. And this is a very polarizing time in our country, as you know. And, but what I was blown away by is people were in disbelief that this was actually happening. They're like, "Wait, they can't do this. This violates your freedom." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And they go, "But well, no, this can't be right. Like, have you talked to HR?" "Yeah. No, this is happening. Wait, mine got approved, or I know somebody that got, who can we talk to? This can't be happening." I said, "Listen, this is, you might be on the safe side of this mandate, but the next thing that comes down, you might not be okay with. So what are you going to do? This is me. I'm standing up for my religious freedom. I'm standing up for the future of my kids so that they have the opportunity to worship the God that they want to in the way that they want to, that they, you know, have that message that they can be whatever they want to be. This is America. America is not perfect, but without our freedom, we are not the same country. And so it was amazing that I got a lot of support anyway, and I've been receiving a lot of support because I think people want, like, I respect people's right to choose whether or not they get vaccinated. This is something that is personal to all of us, and that this is our body and we should have that right to choose. I would love to share with you because I've gotten, you know, quite a few like naysayers too. They're like, good riddance. I wouldn't want you taking care of my family and that kind of stuff. And to them, I would say, you know, I've been testing twice a week, but I've been getting called a Karen quite frequently. And oh my gosh, I think, but you know what? I was like, oh, I've made it. If people are calling me a Karen, amen. I'm like, yeah. And you know what? Karens, they just care about stuff. That is the spirit of Karen's care. Karen's care.
It's in the name. I love it.
Karen's care. Yeah.
So Tori, one of the moments that really stuck out to me in the video when you were walking out, and in the moment, the fact that you had the even emotional clarity to be so composed as to speak truth in the middle of this exit from your employer after you fought to protect your job and you followed the rules and you've done what you were supposed to do. And then at the end of the day, for them to give you this answer, the fact that you left with such grace and composure was really impressive. One of the things you mentioned in the moment, and I think you were talking to the security guard as you were walking out, is you said, if it's not this, it'll be some other issue down the road. And you just alluded to this. Why do you think it's so important that people stand now? Because I've heard a lot of people that are like, well, it's just a vaccine. You know, if it was something more intense, clearly I would stand. To which I would say, actually, like, if you're not willing to stand now, what gives you any indication that you'll be willing to stand in the future? That would be my rebuttal. But what are your thoughts to those people? Why is it so important to draw your line in the concrete now, anytime there's an attempt at infringing of people's freedoms?
Because I really think without freedom, we are sitting ducks. Like, that we have to protect that, keep it really, really close to our heart. Like, it, people are so upset. I mean, and are culturally upset with things that are broken. And I stand by those people who are upset and heartbroken, or think ways they've been mistreated. Culturally, we're divided. And I really believe it's a cultural war. I also think it's an absolute spiritual war. Mm-hmm. And I think that people, particularly in America, we are complacent, and we want things, and we want instant gratification. We want things given to us right now. We don't want to do the hard thing. And we just are hoping, and that's myself included. Like, this has been a big wake up call for me since COVID, God has been really speaking with me on all that. That if I care about something, I need to be willing personally to get involved, because otherwise I can't say anything. If you're not willing to get involved, you're standing on the sidelines, just criticizing. Even if you don't agree with me, I'm encouraging people to get involved and to stand up for their freedom, because that having opposition is what freedom is. Like, the fact that we have a freedom to disagree and not be put in jail for that, or to worship differently in this country and not be put in jail for that. That's what it was founded on. And I am definitely no history major, but like, and I understand the Constitution about as well as my third grader who just learned about the Bill of Rights last week, but it's very, so I'll stay in my lane. But like, basically those freedoms are so basic, like they're so straightforward. My third grader gets it. It's like, do you believe in religious freedom or not? Do you believe in free speech or not? Like, it's not that's how I see it. Yeah.
Our founders saw it the same way, by the way. They actually, one of my favorite historical little tidbits of fact is that our founders called our religious liberties our first freedoms, because they said, if we lose those, we lose everything else. And I remember I was sitting in the water. I like to surf. Haven't had as much time since starting a company, but before starting a company, loved to surf. And I was out in the water at a spot that you probably know well, being from North County. I was out at Grandview And I was in the water and there was this man in his mid-60s that was out in the water with me. And we just struck up a conversation. I'm a talker, as my listeners know, and he was too. So we kind of gravitated toward each other. And he mentioned that he was actually, he was from Hungary and he had gone through communism and had experienced tangibly this society turn from what maybe felt like free to him to rapidly declining into authoritarian communism that tore families apart and ended up leading in them fleeing the country to escape to the United States, which was at the time a beacon of freedom. And one of the things he mentioned is that the first thing he witnessed is that the state went after the churches. They went after religious liberties because they knew, the communists knew, if they could attack religious liberties, everything else would fall by the wayside as well. And so it's why, Tori, I'm inspired that you fought for your religious liberties, and that was the hill that you chose to die on. You chose to die on the religious exemption. These employers, I'm working in on the front lines. I'm fighting for the lives of people that are sick, and I'm trying to care for the least of these. And I'm on the front lines with the people that, by the way, we were told were heroes over the last year. And now, because I state my religious beliefs, those are not adequate enough to my employer. And so while they called me a hero a year ago, now they're changing their tune. I admire you because I think more people need to, especially people of faith, people that know the truth, need to dig their feet in the ground and say, like, this is the hill. Because if we get this wrong, if we miss religious liberties, we miss everything else. So I want to ask, following up on that, how has your faith encouraged you? I'm a believer. I believe that God is my hope and my strength. And it sounds like you do too. What has it been like in this process, knowing ultimately that God has you? What has that done for you?
I've been a believer since a very young age, and I've felt the presence of God my whole life, but this is like nothing I've ever felt before.
Wow.
Just a quick backstory. My husband works in a fire station where there's really strong believers. He's surrounded by these incredible men of God. And wow, like what a testament. These first responders who show up in like the worst situations and they're prayerful men. And one of the guys actually had kind of fallen away from the church and came back like as a radical believer and really set a fire. It's amazing what one person can do. And just hearing kind of his story, my husband's like, he's a different person and he hears God and he's seeking him. So on my way to work back in April, I was kind of mad. I was like, God, why don't I hear you? I mean, I hear you, but I want to like hear you. And the next thing he said was give up alcohol. And I was like, what? I was like, oh, I like to have a drink here and there. But I was like, what, really? I'm like, oh, okay. And then I went on vacation until I didn't listen to him and then wasn't obedient. And then July, fast forward, I got really sick when we were on a camping trip. Like, can you imagine like when you're sick camping, it's like, no bueno. It's like bad. You know, I truly believe God was just like stopping me dead in my tracks. Because ever since then, I mean, I gave up, I was like, okay, he said the same thing. He's like, you need to give up alcohol. I was like, okay, all right. I hear you this time. I'm going to be obedient because I know that that's what God calls us to. That's how he uses us. He uses us when we're obedient. Like Moses was like, hey, I'm not your guy. Like, I'm not really a good speaker. Like, I'm not your guy. Okay. And, that's where he uses us the most. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be obedient. I don't know what for, but God literally, he speaks to me when I'm exercising. He's like, I have something for you. I'm like, okay, okay. All right. I'm listening, but I didn't really know what that was. But I would literally lay asleep at night and he's just speaking to me. I can't really explain it. And so when this happened to me, God was like, this is what I've been preparing you for.
Wow.
What? But basically just to spread his gospel, because I was able to share my faith and I wanted to share my faith with a person who said that I didn't have sincerely held religious beliefs, but I didn't get that opportunity. I hope that they hear my story somewhere else. So it's really been incredible. And God is paving a way, bringing people like you into my life and just everything. It's, it's been so easy. It could only be God.
Amen.
It's just, yeah. And the peace I feel in the storm, it can only be God. The peace I felt walking out of the hospital that day, it can only be God. Like I that's it.
So you were willing to uphold your convictions to the point that it cost you so much of the comfort and safety that we as humans often long for. And yet in the midst of that, you're able to say that you genuinely feel peace right now. Is that what I just heard?
I do.
Phenomenal. Okay. Anybody who's listening, if you want that peace, you just highlighted what your peace is anchored to, Tori.
Yeah.
And I hope that people didn't miss that, because there is no other explanation for that other than the divine. The fact that Jesus Christ says that he is the Prince of Peace, and the fact that it's easy to say that when you're in good times, it's a lot harder to say that when you're in the middle of the storm. You're in the middle of the storm right now, and you just exclaim that. And so that really blesses me, Tori, and I'm sure it's going to bless all the people listening and watching this as well.
I hope so.
That's a really big deal. So I want to pivot. I want to ask you a question. Why, and this is a loaded one, so no worries if there's not a clear answer or multiple answers to this, I'm not sure, but why do you think hospital leadership at Kaiser acted in this way? If you had to really try to diagnose the why behind it, why did you have to go through this? Why are you experiencing this? And why did they make the choices that they
made? I have no idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me, because let's put it to this way. This was also in my video. If we are truly in a pandemic, truly, like if it's as bad as they say it is, and you know, it was last year, it was bad. Why are they letting go of first responders and healthcare workers who are willing to work and who are well-trained? This doesn't make sense to me. So is it not that bad, or is there something else going on? I have no idea, but it just, like, I'm just a logical person. Even if someone's just telling you this story from another planet, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
A curious mind is what science is all about. And that's one thing that I have been really disappointed at this entire time, where, you know, you ask questions and people go, well, we're not looking at that. This is what we're doing. It's like, okay, well, but why are you getting upset that I'm even raising a question? Why people are getting sick even though they're vaccinated, and we expected that, because it's like the flu vaccine where you can still get the flu and still pass it on. But just that this kind of attitude where, like, if you say your kid, like, hey, like, do this, and they go, why? And you go, because I said so. Your kid's like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't make me trust you or want to do what you're telling me to do. So why can't we have more transparent conversations around this? And why can't we be, why are we shutting down conversations that we should be having, looking at every angle, looking at every therapeutic option? It just seems, again, it just doesn't add up. And I don't know. I'm not a medical expert, not a stat rat, but I just, like, it just doesn't make sense why we can't ask questions.
Yeah. And to be honest, Tori, as from my perspective, I would say, who are the experts on COVID? You know, I don't think it's just I don't think it's just the infectious disease doctors. I also think it's the people that have been in these rooms with patients for the last year. I think it's people that have been on the front lines and have experienced this and have seen COVID up close and personal. And one of the first things you said on this is that you were on the front lines. And so, you know, I think that if anyone should have a right to ask questions, it is people like you. If anyone should have a right to say, guys, look, I've been there, I've seen it, I've been on the front lines, I've been in the healthcare system over the last year and a half, I just have a question about this. You should have every right to ask those questions. And it's really upsetting me that our society has become a place where, you're right, science is no longer let's find multiple opinions and then let's test them and let's see what really comes out as truth. Instead, science is now, you will say these words and we will accept no dissent. And so I wonder, Tori, what do you sense the long-term effects are? I asked this of another guest last week because I'm so intrigued by this thought right now. What do you think the long-term effects are in our country of the fact that the medical community has really lost a lot of trust with tens of millions of Americans who feel like the goalposts keep shifting, who feel like we're not allowed to ask questions? What do you think some of the long-term effects are of that?
Gosh, that's a great question. I haven't really thought about that. But I guess I would hope that the physicians too, that they would start to ask questions because they're the ones that drive care and drive treatment, and that there would be more of an open forum where instead of like following a protocol for this reason, and protocols are driven by, you hope they're driven by science, but like that there should, that we could go back to a scientific kind of open-minded, like, hey, like let's really try to get together and get the best minds on this and solve things. And just, I would hope that the physicians too, and nurses, all healthcare professionals would be open and not so upset about people asking questions, because that really turns off the community. When I had patients who were not were taking alternative, using alternative therapies and were unvaccinated and came into the hospital, there was definitely some hostility felt by the staff. And that's unfortunate. That is, we are as medical professionals supposed to treat people no matter what their decisions are. If you refuse care or if you have certain beliefs, we're supposed to respect that. And I hope that it goes back to that, because we have so many amazing doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals that I think we have to mend that fence somehow, but it's going to take both sides coming to the table with an open mind.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Tori, I want to ask you one more question during our time together, and then I want to have you help people understand how they can follow along with your journey. But you and your husband are both on the front lines. Your husband's a firefighter, you're a nurse. You are people that give your all to help keep people safe, which is admirable to the umpteenth degree. And with all the chaos that's gone on in the past few weeks of your life and all that you've had to endure, why is it worth it? Why do you keep standing? Why are you going to do more interviews tomorrow? Why are you going to continue telling your story? Why is it all worth it?
It's almost like I can't not tell it. And that's how I felt that day. I was like, I will never forgive myself if I don't stand up for myself right now and my religious freedom. And I'm thinking about people that don't agree with me. I'm talking like, I want us to have freedom. I want you to have the freedom to disagree with me. That is America. America is not perfect, but freedom. Wow. Like without that, you see what has happened around the world during COVID, with countries that don't have like freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of assembly. Like you see what happens, and I don't want that here.
Amen. I mentioned this before our show. I talk about this a lot, that the average life cycle of a civilization is about 250 years. And we just celebrated our 245th, and people like you and the stories and what you've endured, give me hope that we'll secure another 250, because I think people are starting to pay attention. We've seen what some of the airlines have done, as more and more of their personnel said, hey, we're not budging on this issue. We've seen what some other major corporations have done. We've seen what some healthcare facilities around the country have done. I have a good friend that's working at a hospital who said, you know, our management is starting to budge a little bit as the people that are unvaccinated and are using religious exemptions are standing up and standing against this. And, you know, I think California is the toughest nut to crack, unfortunately. It is where we both call home. But my prayer is that, you know, as more people like you are willing to stand up, hopefully we'll see freedom catch on and be brought into the mainstream in a way that causes everyone to take notice. Tori, do you have any other thoughts you want to share with people? Is there anything else that's kind of fresh on your mind as you reflected on the last few days that you just think people need to hear?
Well, so many people have been supportive and asking how they can support. So I set up a landing page, walkstairs.com. Walk the stairs was taken. Walkstairs.com. At the end of my video, I ask the security guard if he's good to walk the stairs with me, because I park on the 7th floor, so I don't forget where my car is. But also, early in COVID, I didn't want to take the stairs, and this little voice said, take the stairs. And I got to the top of the stairs, and it was after a really rough shift. So, you know, you don't want to take the stairs after a really rough shift. You just want to go like lick your wounds and go to bed. When I got to the top, God was like, symbolically, you need to take the stairs after every shift to just remind yourself that this just job, this state, this of chaos that you're living in right now, this pandemic cannot break you. And that was like just this small little symbol to me that allowed me to go back to my job the next day with like conviction and motivation and a clear mind and a clear heart just to be ready to take care of people again. So I also exercise, but that's again, symbolic for walking the stairs, but I set up a little landing page. But it's also for me, I'm like, walk the stairs is like, that is, you're doing the hard thing. And right now, if we got to do the hard things, we have to do the things that we care about. We can't take the elevator, can't take the easy road, like everybody. I heard someone pose that question to me and I was like, oh, that's me. I'm taking the elevator all the time. But the next time I have a chance, I'm taking the stairs. And so
wow,
walk the stairs with me. Yeah. So walk the stairs with me, San Diego and America. Let's go.
Come on. And the world at large. We're not the only country dealing with this. And I pray that your story inspires people across the world, Tori. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. And also I was hoping to connect employers with potential people who want to work, who've been displaced from this, but it sounds like you're already doing that on Public Square. So hopefully we get some people who are not requiring vaccinations or who are allowing religious exemptions, and we can connect them with some epic people who have been displaced from this mandate.
Amen. Yes. Let's collaborate. And I would love for Tori, before we jump, how can people follow along with your journey on social? So walkstairs.com is how they can track with you and support you. How can they follow on social? Is Instagram the best way?
Yeah. And unfortunately I don't have that all set up yet. I'm a one show, one stop pony. What's that saying?
One
trick pony.
One trick pony. There it is. Yeah.
I don't know. I digress. But right now it's the Nurse Titian. I'm actually, before I became a nurse, I was a registered dietitian. So I work for a health and wellness company and do a lot of wellness talks and stuff there. So again, guys, walk the stairs, get good sleep, eat your vegetables. Okay. Get out in the sunshine. That's how you're going to beat this COVID chaos. I'm telling you, like, just gotta do the simple things, you know, keep it basic, take care of yourself. The Nurse Titian, it's like, good luck spelling that. I don't know why I picked that as my handle, but
I'll post a link in the description of this episode. Tori, it's been an absolute blast. You and your husband are a blessing. Thank you for fighting the good fight. And I pray God continues to bless you on this journey. I pray he continues to open doors that blow you away, where you're able to tell your story and inspire, again, thousands of other people to stand up and do the hard thing, walk the stairs. It will be worth it. So I really appreciate that message today. Tori, thank you so much.
Thank you.